My name is Russ Marin. I am the pastor of Mount Clover Road Baptist Church. The last 2 days we have been in chapter 4 of 1 Corinthians. I would like to read to you verse 19. Paul is talking about coming back to the Corinthians and seeing them again. He says, "But I will come to you shortly, if the Lord will, and will know not the speech of them which are puffed up, but the power." Isn't that true? To really know the value of a testimony or the value of a work someone is doing is to see the power that is on it. I'll tell you what, when you have the Holy Spirit power on what you're doing, the first evidence that you will see is that people are getting saved. Paul was teaching here some of his converts, and some of the other people wanted to be teachers. And Paul said, "I should be your teacher because I won you to Jesus Christ." Many times in the ministry, I have had people trust Christ as Savior, and then other people want to step in and teach them. If you win someone to Christ, I believe it gives you the right and the responsibility of teaching and training them up in Jesus Christ. The person that wants to be the teacher should learn to be a soul winner and have converts that will trust him and learn from him. So today we're going to finish chapter 4 of 1 Corinthians. Let's go to the Mount Clover Road Baptist Church Auditorium for today's message. This is what Paul says. "For though ye have 10,000 instructors in Christ, yet have ye not many fathers." Meaning, there's always going to be a lot of people that want to teach you, but they didn't win you. And oftentimes, they're not winning anybody. Now, I'm not saying that's always the case. I'm just saying a lot of times. We had a young couple, Tim Womack and I, went to their house probably 13 or 14 years ago. And the night we were there, they both prayed to get saved. The next Sunday, they came to church. The second Sunday, they came to church. And the second Sunday, they had their neighbors with them. And their neighbors said to us, "We've been praying for them to get saved for 7 years. Simple question. Did you ever witness to them? "No, we didn't ever witness to them. We've been praying for them." "Why didn't you witness to them?" And they never came back to our church. The couple that we won or the couple that was the neighbors. And you know what the neighbors did? The neighbors took them, put them in a home Bible study, and took them to another church. I would say they're wrong. That we had gone, we had given the gospel, we had won them to Christ, we had earned the right to teach them. They ought to be here today, but they're gone. Because there are always people that will want to teach you and share things who are not winning people to Christ. And Paul says, you got 10,000 teachers. Can you imagine what was at stake at the church at Corinth? Paul went in there, zero believers in the whole city. Zero believers. Paul went in there and started winning people to Jesus Christ. And hundreds of people started getting saved. And lives started being changed. Can you imagine how many false teachers Satan was trying to get to Corinth? Can you imagine how Satan was trying to twist things? Paul walked in with the authority of God on his life. He had the power of God on his life. Can you imagine how bad Satan wanted someone else to teach those people other than the Apostle Paul? Get someone else here. Teach them something else. Get them off base. And you know what? I found this in my own life. And I think this is true. You win somebody and they become special to you. They're special to you. You love them. I just promise you, if you got saved in this church is going to love you more, and people here are going to love you more than when you get than if you go somewhere else and you didn't get saved there. So Paul says that you got 10,000 instructors in Christ, yet ye have not many fathers. He had one father. That was Apostle Paul. He's the one that won them. "For in Christ Jesus I have begotten you through the gospel." Verse 16, "Wherefore I beseech you be followers of me. What a great testimony. Every one of us should want to say this. I think we do want to say it, but sometimes I can't back it up. And that is, be followers of me. Paul says later, he says in Corinthians, be a follower of me as I follow Christ. Shouldn't our testimony be good enough that we could say to people, follow me, follow me. You know, get in my car today and go everywhere I go and get in my head and think everything I think and listen to all my words and follow what I'm saying. That, what a wonderful testimony. That should be a goal for all of us, shouldn't it? Follow me. Follow me. I'm going to love Christ. I'm going to obey Him. I'm going to be submissive to Him. Verse 17. For this cause have I sent unto you Timothy, who is my beloved son. Paul won Timothy to Christ. And faithful in the Lord. Timothy's good man was faithful to and grew in Christ. Who shall bring you into remembrance of my ways which be in Christ, as I teach everywhere in every church. So God had someone to follow Paul into Corinth, and Timothy was one of the people. Verse 18, now some are puffed up as though I would not come to you. Some of these people, probably after a while, Paul comes in, he wins people to Christ, and then he leaves. I think he was there about 18 months. He leaves, and there were probably some said, we're going to follow Apollos. Apollos has come in now, and he's teaching. We're going to follow him. And some probably said, Paul's bark is worse than his bite. Don't worry about what Paul says. We can follow what this teacher's saying. We can follow what someone else is saying. Don't worry about Paul. Paul says, now some are puffed up. Some are proud, as though I would not come to you. Watch here, verse 19. But I will come to you shortly, if the Lord will, and will know not the speech of them that are puffed up, but the power. What happens when you have the power of God on your life? Well, I think one thing, all through the book of Acts, when people were filled with the Holy Spirit, almost immediately people began to get saved. People who have the power of God in their life are around soul winning. They see people get saved. People that are proud are generally not people winning people to Christ. Now, I'm not saying everyone doesn't win people as proud. I'm just saying Paul's giving an illustration here. He's saying, you know what? Instead of listening to what you say when I come back, I'm going to look at your life and see what is happening. I'm going to see if you have the power of God on your life. Has your life changed? Are you living right? Are you winning people to Christ? Are you discipling people? Are things happening that demonstrate the power of God is on your life? Or are you just talking? Are you just talking? I'm not so sure that some of our Christian TV shows that we watch, they're just talking. They're talking. It's not the power of God on the ministry, as we're just talking. Paul says here, when I come back, I'm going to be looking to see if the power of God is upon your life. That's the real test. That's the real test. Have you ever been around somebody in a one-on-one conversation that has a humble spirit, is talking about the things of God, and when they say things to you, they bring conviction? Or they'll grab your attention about the things of God. They have the power of God on their life. And they, if you're not careful, you start squirming a little bit and you feel uneasy because they have the hand of God on their life and God's using them. Verse 20, for the kingdom of God is not in word, but in power. What will we? Shall I come to you with a rod or in love and in the spirit of meekness? So Paul says here, you know, I'm going to come, depending on your attitude, if you're puffed up, if you're proud, I'm coming with a rod. If you're humble, if you're submissive, I'm coming in a spirit of meekness. I am coming in love. So which will it be? Paul said, Lord willing, I'm coming again. And he says, depending on your attitude, it's going to determine how I come. Well, I mean, the obvious is we want to have a humble attitude. We want God to come to us in love. We want him to come in a spirit of meekness. I love chapter 7 of Matthew where it says that we will be judged by the same standard that we judge other people. If we are kind, if we are forgiving, if we are humble spirit when we judge other people, that's how God will judge us. But if we're puffed up and we're proud and we're dogmatic with them, then that's the way God will judge us. Okay? So how would God come tonight? Or if the Apostle Paul was coming, how would he have to deal with us? Would he have to deal with us with a rod? Or would he deal with us in a spirit of meekness? Well, if we're proud, then he's going to deal with us with a rod. He's going to come back strongly. Now, remember this about the Corinthians. Now, listen to me. He's talking to young believers. You can almost always tell a young believer because they have tendency is they know everything. And they know everything that's wrong with me. And they know everything that's wrong with their parents. And they know everything that's wrong with this person and that person. And they know how all the other Christians ought to be. And young believers are like that. Older believers, more mature believers, have generally, we have failed enough to not be that type of spirit. That's right, amen. And you've learned through those failures. So he's talking here to young believers. He said, if you're puffed up, I'm coming with a rod. If you're humble, I'll come in a spirit of meekness. How would he come to you tonight? How would the Apostle Paul come? Would he come to you gently? Or is he going to come to you with a rod? Are you puffed up, thinking that you're the one that's got it and everybody else is wrong? You're the one that's spiritual. No one else is doing anything. I went to a preacher's dinner Monday night, and it was interesting. To my knowledge, I was the only Baptist there. There were about a dozen preachers, all different kinds of churches. It was just interesting. There were some good people there. They probably didn't agree with everything I believed or vice versa, but they were good people. They were born-again believers in Christ. We're surrounded by people like that. We are not the only church that preaches the truth. We're not the only one that has the answer. We don't want to be puffed up thinking we're the only one that does this. No one else is doing it. We're carrying the ball. No one else is. That's just not true. But there are other people, winning people, other people preaching the gospel, other people teaching the truth. But we need to do the same thing.